Yeah, Ed.
Again, all decisions lead to experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way you grow, through experience.
Sure.
Yeah, experiences. We came here for experiences. The reason we came to this reality, because it gives us experience that you can't have anywhere else. Think of if you lived in a higher sphere where you controlled everything with your mind, you could never enjoy playing golf because you'd hit a hole in one every single time. And after you hit about 20 holes in one, then you'd get bored of playing. But here in this reality, I mean, we're limited. Now, a lot of people think being limited is a terrible thing. But you think of every game that is played, it's a game of limitations. You have, football. You have a 100-yard field, and it's specified you are limited to playing in this particular area. You don't go out of the area to play. You stay in the area. So you're limited. You're limited to that 100 yards. There's 25,000 miles around the earth, but you're limited to that 100 yards if you're going to play that game. There's all kinds of rules about how the game is played. So the game is established by limitations. And we see how well these guys can perform under these extreme limitations. And it's fun to watch. And it's fun to play. It's so fun to play that they're willing to risk concussions and injuries and back problems and arthritis and all kinds of things that's negative from playing the game but it's so much fun and exciting that they're willing to risk everything to play that game. And that's the way it is with us and experience. We have an opportunity for experience in this reality that you can't get anywhere else. And it's because of the limitations. And because of our limitations with spirit, if we can overcome them and get back on the right path and focus and get connected to our inner self and our inner God, then it produces a tremendous win. And there's nothing more fun in a game than when you win. And there's no bigger win than getting in contact with your own soul and your own higher self. And eventually, getting control over your physical body so no one would have power to damage it, eliminating all fears. Wouldn't that be a big win? Getting control of your emotional body so no one can create any fear with any emotional attack. It's a tremendous win to be able to eliminate all fear from this game that we're playing. And you look at these people playing football, the ones, it's a dangerous game, but the ones that really play it well are fearless. I mean, they will take all kinds of chances, but they have no fear. They put fear out of their minds, and they play very, very well. Look at a lot of these things, like a skier. Boy, I would be terrified. I've never been a skier in my life, but I would be terrified in my state trying to ski down a steep hill. It scared the dickens out of me. But these guys have mastered it to the point that they can do it and they have no fear. They have complete control. And this is the way it is with all of our life experiences. And there is fear that enters into everybody's life to some degree that we have to face and overcome. But when it's overcome, it's a big win. And it produces an exhilarating feeling that the people in the higher spheres just don't get a chance to have. But we can get it here. We can get a feeling of accomplishment here that you can't get anywhere else. And that's the big draw. That's what draws us down to this life that can be a nightmare, but still we're drawn here. You think everybody is forced to come down to this world? No, we actually volunteer. when Michael Newton regressed people to life between lives, he come up with an interesting statement that was made by several people that he got information from, is that there are a lot more volunteers for difficult lives than there are for easy lives, because you learn a lot more in the difficult lives, even handicapped lives, even lives where people are born without limbs or blind or things like this, difficult lives. He said there's more volunteers for these difficult lives than the easy lives. Matter of fact, the people begrudgingly take the easy lives because they don't learn as much. But with a difficult life, you learn a lot. And like, say, my first marriage, I learned a lot, even though it was very difficult. I learned quite a bit in that marriage that I probably wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for my first marriage, because I still might be a good Mormon in the church.
You learned how to dodge things.
Yeah. But because it kept asking me, why? Why do you want me to stay with this woman? And there was no answer until finally I did finally get an answer, but it took a long, long time. Okay, our next key we're going to discuss is the second key, and it is the key, if you have read the book, of judgment. And we're going to end this session by reading, what caused the Buddha to come up with this second key? Okay, who's a good reader? I'll have somebody else read here. Rebecca, are you a good reader?
I'm reading, so I guess.
Okay, we're going to read this. Read this, start at the top and read the whole thing.
Here, read the whole book.
Okay, here read we go. Book. Get comfortable.
This tells the story of, or a synopsis of, how Buddha achieved enlightenment.
As Siddhartha Gautama, who became the Buddha, sat under the Bodhi tree near starvation, seeking enlightenment, he heard some singing. The words he heard are said to be something like this. If you tune the strings of a harp too tight, the sound will not be right. If the strings are too slack as they play, a beautiful sound will not be made. Neither too tight nor too limp shall be the strings. If the player is to be worthy of kings, the tension must be tuned by the ear to fill the soul of all who hear. When he heard these words, a light turned on his mind. He realized that the first part of his life, where he dwelt in luxury, was likened unto a string too loose. The second part of his life, where he sought nirvana through starvation and austerity, was as a string too tight. He now saw a middle way that was just right. Unfortunately, that vision was lost and replaced in history by a watered-down idea that was already common knowledge and turns on no light. In this age, it is assumed that the middle way is moderation. This assumption is not correct. In this volume, the true middle way is again revealed. The middle way will turn on the light, and the principle of enlightenment will again have meaning.
So the Buddha was raised in great luxury, and then he left that luxury in search of why there's suffering in the world. And he starved himself to death. He was under the Bodhi tree, eating just 2 grains of rice a day, so it is said, and starving to death. And these people come by singing this song about the strings must be tuned just right. Not too tight, not too loose, to be able to play the right melodies. And that turned on a light in his head about the middle way. But many of the people in the Buddhist religion teach that the middle way is like we have this extreme and that extreme, and it's right in the middle. And that's not where the middle way is. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Okay? So, appreciate you guys. Been a good audience and good vibrations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.